Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show.
Kurt Volker, the administration's special envoy to Ukraine,
put Giuliani in touch with a top advisor to Zelensky. Now, a quick note on Volker. He resigned shortly after he was named in a whistleblower complaint about Trump's conduct in the Ukraine. So now, Giuliani does sit at the center of a question that deeply imperils Donald Trump's political future. Did the president abuse his office for his own personal political gain in trying to force the Ukrainians to look into allegations of corruption by the Bidens that had already been thoroughly debunked? Now, as House Democrats push forward with an impeachment inquiry, Giuliani is expected to be called to testify about his actions and his role and, well, why he said and did what he said and did. But even on whether or not he will actually testify before Congress, Giuliani has offered a variety of directly contradictory answers.
I wouldn't cooperate with Adam Schiff. I think Adam Schiff should be removed.
That was Giuliani to ABC's George Stephanopoulos. In it,
I'm going to cut it off now. You have the gist. So the question is Donald Trump guilty of anything, and will it come to an impeachment? I'm pulling the co-host in now as soon as it reloads. While I'm doing that, hi John, how you doing?
Hello, Comrade Jane.
I'm sure you didn't like that spin by a third party source on Giuliani, the Ukraine, and Trump.
I actually love that spin because it's exactly what we need, is everyone to examine everything very deeply, like the deep state.
I know, and you have a take on that too. And by the way, Don, I'm trying to pull you in. My computer's slow, so just bear with me. John, can you still talk?
Absolutely.
Yeah, for some reason when I refreshed the page, you weren't there. So based on what I just said, what is your take on this new situation? And is it just an impeachment inquiry, or are they going to go the full force?
Can you hear me?
John's on the phone now. Yes, John, can you hear us?
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to make sure that you were on, that you had me.
We had a problem pulling your call in. It was a technical glitch.
All right, go ahead, John. Go ahead, John.
John's in charge of the show tonight, which is scary, but I have the mute button.
That's
actually, America is in charge of the show. I'm just a spectator, but lately, the last couple of days, I've been actually listening a lot to MSNBC and ABC, Stephanopoulos, Maddow, Morning Joe, the whole gang, just to kind of get the feel. And the thing is, they're spouting a lot of stuff that isn't actually true. And let me reiterate.
Like over-dramatizing things?
Right. In other words, the investigation, they keep saying it was debunked. Sokin actually says he was just starting back into the Biden thing, the examining Burisma when he got fired, when Joe threw down the hammer. The people they're talking to in the Ukraine are the old establishment that was full of corruption that got thrown out. So those are the people they're quoting that this investigation was done. Joe said, fire this guy. Now, realize a favor for a favor, quid pro quo is when you say,
yeah, quid pro quo, yeah.
And I'll do this for you. And that's exactly what Joe Biden did. He said it. Fire this man within 6 hours. I'm leaving in 6 hours. And within an hour, or you don't get the money. That is the offer. They went with it. And the guy was fired. So now the government says, oh, he was corrupt and his investigation was done. Sokin actually says, no, I was in the middle of this and they threw me out and silenced him. And so this is what the mainstream media is going with. Now, if you look, Pelosi and Adam Schiff through 2013 through 15 were doing fundraisers with Pasternak, Igor Pasternak, one of their heavy military arms dealers in the Ukraine. doing fundraisers like $1,000 to $2,500 a plate to donate to the their campaigns. Manafort,
you sent me a screenshot of that. I know there's some limitations on foreign investors in an American election.
Right. Manafort, who you recall, is in prison. Guess what? The Podestas, Tony Podesta, they were over there doing the same thing. They weren't licensed as agents in the Ukraine working with Hillary. They didn't get investigated or arrested. This server is in Ukraine. They have her information. Trump is baiting them. He has all this information, and he's wanting them to investigate this. And because that's where it's not Russia who hacked. Her information was through everywhere. Anwar from Pakistan, who worked on their servers, he opened up. He was sending information direct from Hillary to Pakistan and selling it to other countries. But we can get into this later. But the point is, there's a lot of – Ukraine is where a lot of this corruption is going on. And Trump is asking – he never said to investigate Biden. He said investigate CrowdStrike and the server, which is the past –
I have a general question for you guys.
Go for
based
it.
On – because Russia rolled their tanks in there in 2014 and just – they didn't even have proper uniforms, and they just – I watched a documentary. They just ran over cities. They didn't inform the local citizens, even though they fought back. Ukraine, at that point, was already starting to break down in early 2014. Where's all this circular money coming from? For example, it's against Putin's interest to have Americans so involved in that region of the world. So does anyone have an overarching explanation for this? Like,
right.
Why
this
stuff is going on right in that epicenter of that part of Eastern Europe?
Because the oil, again, it's about oil. The Ukraine wanted for a long time to put a pipeline into Poland and Czechoslovakia, well, Slovakia, and the Russian government wouldn't let them do it. And so that's one of the reasons that they were at war with Russia, because Russia wouldn't allow them to build that pipeline. So the Ukraine is instrumental in pumping oil away from Russia into neighboring countries. And that's how they got a lot of their money, because if they were selling it to the Russians pretty much have their own oil, and they're just looking to stockpile or use their...
Well, on an emotional level, you know, Kiev used to be the center of Russia and the center of the Ukraine.
Right.
And
exactly.
Besides vying for a political position, I think the Ukraine, because of its instability, would be a benefit to Europe if they could get it westernized. But that would be like a sore spot for Putin, because he doesn't want us in there ruffling their feathers. And now, there was some scrutiny about Zelensky, the comedian actor who got elected, when he had his like 8-year run series on that national network. Everything in the Ukraine is owned by an oligarch, all the TV stations. So even though he won and he worked hard for it, a lot of people think that he was bought out too.
Well, he was.
Now, did John or Don read any of the transcripts between Zelensky and Trump? Did either one of you do that?
No.
Actually, I read the transcript that Adam Schiff read. He said, I have a transcript of it, and he started reading and making up things. He started saying,
well,
I'm
now, I
you.
Heard later that I did follow through on that, John. I heard later that he was doing a parody on Trump and kind of mimicking him. And then he said later that he didn't mean it for the script to be verbatim. Now, I'm not defending him. I'm just telling you what he said.
He went in front of Congress and said, because Trump hadn't released. He said, I'm going to read you what he said. And so he starts reading off this stuff.
That's it.
I'm going to tell you seven times, so, you know, you better hear it. And, you know, we've done a lot of, you know, good things for you, so you better do me some things. In fact, I need a lot of dirt on Biden. And it kept going on and on with this words that Trump never said. Now, Trump releases that they didn't think he would release the transcripts. It was a challenge, a game of chicken, so he released it.
Well, that's
it.
Why I think there's some deception going on, because was it Schiff who read it or that other guy? Well, whoever it was, he said later, oh, I was just paraphrasing and kind of half mocking the president. Like, I wasn't trying to deceive anybody. But on the other hand, I was watching some clips with Giuliani, and they were trying to pinpoint why he got involved with this. And he said, I wasn't trying to get involved because I wanted to attack Biden. I wanted to find out about the election, I mean, about the investigation that had been done on Biden.
Well, it's interesting that Adam Schiff, after he gets called out, says, oh, I was just joking. He wasn't joking when he read it. You remember when you called him, you said, oh,
to me, that's
times.
Disturbing because he's a leading member of Congress, so he shouldn't alter the.
You told me, Jane, you said, oh, he had eight calls. Trump did trying to pressure Ukraine. Where did you get that from? Adam Schiff, from his testimony. Oh, yeah, he said, I'm going to tell you this seven times. Because the reason why he didn't, it was secondhand gossip. It was hearsay. So he was just reading off what people told him. And Trump planted that, like, okay, there's a leak. He found the leaker. He found the fake story and he exposed it. So Adam Schiff has to back up and go, oh, you know what? That was just a joke. Well, why didn't you say before you started
talking?
Well,
I don't think it was very nice because it would be one thing if he was just a political pundit, but he's a member of Congress. And I think
he's
Jewish and he's out of Burbank, John.
He's the lead investigator in charge of the investigation. Do you get this? It's like attorney.
Could you please not mimic me tonight because I know what's going on. I just got done saying that. I don't think he should have misrepresented Trump. But on the other hand, did he do that before or after the transcript was released?
He found out later that he was off. People said, you know, Trump didn't say any of those words. Said, it was a parody. I was joking. The point is, if you're going to investigate something, if you have a lawyer or investigator and they already have decided that the person needs to be impeached and they're already lying about their statements, do you want this person to be in charge of an impartial investigation to get to the truth?
Good point.
Probably not, and I also saw a member of the Department of Justice within the executive branch being interviewed, and he did not think that what Trump did was impeachable.
Well, he did.
But
you know how they have
independent counsels within the executive branch that are supposed to look into these matters? Somebody was trying to corner him and he on public TV, and he wouldn't be cornered. He refused to incriminate Trump.
On a technical level, Trump didn't say, if you don't do this, I won't do that. There was that was not said. So on a technical level, so what people are trying to say, well, he implied it, or if you read between the lines, or if you see the way he blinked or the way he shook his head or the way he did this or that you could assume that. But that doesn't hold up in court. You have to have facts. That's the problem. There's not enough facts to – same thing with, well, we'll impeach him. You have to have a majority of the Republican Senate. They're not going to impeach him. So this is strictly a bluff game.
My question is this. Whether Trump realized he was doing wrong or not, maybe he's a little too transparent because he even said himself that if there was dirt on a particular prominent political U.S. candidate, I'd be interested in doing this. I'd be interested in looking into anybody who has any dirt on them. So he kind of admitted it, that he wanted to know information, but at that time he probably didn't know that he could be liable.
Well, here's a question, though. They have pictures of Biden and his son and Igor Pasternak and other Ukrainian officials golfing together. He says he only talked to his son one time about business. And the rest of the time, they took a flight. They went to security. They loaded up. They took the flight. They got off. They walked into another country. And he's saying he didn't discuss anything about a billion-dollar situation. When you think about this, you and me, we're going on a trip. Where are we going? Oh, we're going to L.A. or to a convention to talk to who? Or to talk to people in charge of their country and our country. But we're not going to talk about, you know, you coach each other, right? You're going to meet so-and-so. They're going to meet, you know, the security detail will say this. Remember, don't mention so-and-so because this is very sensitive. Oh, by the way, there is a problem with Russia. Don't do this. Say this. Do you see how he's not – here's the question. Why are they publicizing the president's conversations with another leader? And if so, why don't we then publicize all of Biden's, Obama's, and Clinton's conversations?
But we should. We should. Because they're all complicit in Ukraine.
It's my understanding that almost every presidential conversation is recorded.
Right.
It is recorded, but it's not for public use. It's recorded.
And, right, like unless there's
– Library of Congress.
Right, and why isn't it released?
I don't know. I need to look that up, and I don't know if I have time tonight. We only have 25 minutes left.
Because no leader of the country could talk to each other because they would be – it's all strategy. It's all internal secrets. And if you knew that we're going to attack Russia or we knew we're going to withdraw aid for so-and-so, you have no leverage. You have conspiracies, and pretty soon everyone will not talk or they'll destroy each other. That's the whole purpose. But why is Trump the only one who had a conversation that was leaked, and Obama's and Hillary? You know, they're still trying to get four questions from – 9 years ago on her server in Benghazi, and she still, as of a week ago, refused to answer four questions.
Four questions, right. And then,
okay, I have a question, though. Are you guys,
yes?
4 years from now, are you going to still be talking about Hillary Clinton?
After she answers her questions, we won't. We'll be visiting her in prison.
Well,
now, I see a headline, news: Secretary of State Pompeo took part in Trump-Ukraine phone call at the center of the impeachment inquiry.
Yeah,
he was
saying Volker was there. They're saying Volker was there. There are four or five people on that call.
Oh, yeah.
That's the problem.
Great.
None of his phone calls are not private. And he had about three or four or five people on that call, apparently. So that's what makes it so important, because they have all these people that they're going to have to subpoena, and it's going to be a long process. The Democrats hope it's short so that we can get on, you know, they can get on with their business. But the Republicans, they want it long because they know that they get to the 2020 election. The Democrats, if they don't have a candidate, that he could still win. But
Don, here's a question. President Trump was elected to run the country, like to, you know, work the economy and settle disputes, open up trade, on and on. Same thing with Congress. I mean, that's what they're supposed to do. Now, this is going into the last year of his election. They are going to investigate until the day he drops whether he should be president or not. Now, they're still working on the angle that the Russians elected him. And then there's other evidence regarding Ukraine, her server, other CrowdStrike, Facebook helping with ads and shadow banning conservatives. The question is what have the Democratic Party done to help run the country outside of impeach Donald Trump?
In the last 3 years, in the last 2.5 years, nothing, because they've been obstructed. I forgot about that. Their obstruction of, is both parties' obstruction is
right.
Overwhelming. It's overwhelming. And it started the day after Obama was in office, John. I mean, racism started the whole Democratic and Republican split. Really got started when the day after Mitch McConnell came out and said, we will not work with this president. And that was as blatant as you could get. So that's what started it all. And it's been downhill ever since. But, what's going on right now, they should impeach or prosecute everyone, because that is the whole deep state. When you say as a campaign slogan that you're going to drain the swamp, you don't ever say that you're not going to fill it up with another deep state. And that's the problem we have here.
Why were they in such a hurry to do an impeachment inquiry just based on one phone call?
Well, it was more than one phone call. That's the whole point.
It's just like a media-driven. Our whole government is so media-driven. Like there's no debate.
It wasn't the media. It was the whistleblower. The whistleblower from the same party is gonna meet a lot of weight. And this particular whistleblower, whoever it is, apparently is pretty high up in the Republican Party. That's what makes this unique. And so, the chances
and
are...
Was he in the State Department, or where was he from? I forgot.
We don't know. We don't know yet. He implicates the State Department.
I thought he did come out publicly already. John, did he?
Not yet, although, someone knows his identity, but the point is, this person didn't even have firsthand information. He's just getting information from other people, which means, there's more than one source, which means there's other people that don't like Donald Trump, which means it's draining there's a lot of
stuff. While you guys are talking, I think he didn't just get his information. He was working within government.
He saw the
Let me look it up while you guys are talking.
Apparently, he saw the transcript.
Firsthand is that you're on the call hearing it. He did. He went off of what other people gave him.
But the transcript, apparently it was the transcript of the call that he went off on. So that's,
right.
one and a half displays. But
there's a point to this, though, and that is in the history of the United States, or at least since we've had phone calls, you couldn't do this based off of hearsay up through 2018, May. They changed the form in August of this year. And sometime between May of last year and August of this year, they changed the rule. And no one seems to answer what day it was done. But the form that they used the first time they saw it was in August of 2019, that they can use hearsay and not firsthand information.
Right.
Now, isn't this convenient that just for this deal, suddenly we can use hearsay and for the first time we can do a transcript of a call? And except the leaked version doesn't match the actual transcript that was done. So that presents a big pickle.
Right. And the thing is that by the transcript, that law was built and voted on by Republicans. So that's the irony of it all.
I think they want it to come out. I think it's to expose, to tell you the truth. Because people are going to be looking at this like, what about Ukraine? What about the server? What about CrowdStrike? What about Biden's son? I think that's intentional.
You can so-called kill two birds with one stone. That's what you can do. You can get the Biden part of the deep state out, and then you can they're all, and unfortunately Obama was in on it too. But
Nancy and Shifty's in on
they've been all on it. And which call it? Dianne Feinstein tried to slow it down. She was like, "You guys need to move that." Way back in the 80s, 90s, she was trying to say, "Oh, you guys need to slow this fundraising racket down." So, this is something that's been going on for a long time. And both parties are complicit in it, and it's time to bring it out. It's time that these people served their time or did their, owned up to their crimes. That's really, really sad that nobody wants to own up. No one wants to be a woman or a man or whatever you want to call it. Nobody wants to own up to being a leader. And a leader, a captain has to go down with the ship. The leader should, too. They shouldn't be afforded the luxury of all these kickbacks and all this corruption that they do partake in. That's not right.
What's the point of being a politician if you can't get kickbacks?
No. That's like I always say. You don't, spend $5 million on a campaign that you're going to make $200,000 a year. You got something in the back end of all of this business. So this is something that everybody should own up to. We should absolutely demand a full investigation of all parties involved in not only Ukraine, but Iran, Syria, Libya, Yemen, we've got a president who bows down to communists. That's when I think we have a problem. That's when I know we have a problem. And that's what's happening with both parties, the leaders of both parties. And that's why independents are becoming so strong in the voting bloc. And we might see somebody
here. You think you believe that Trump is in Putin's pocket?
Oh, absolutely. And, and without a doubt. And, Trump Moscow was.
What does he have to gain by that?
Trump Moscow. It would be a huge addition to his book. And the thing is, I was with Tom Steyer for a couple hours Sunday, and he seems like a pretty good guy. I don't know necessarily if his success is going to lie in the Democratic Party, but he will definitely could make a splash in the 2024 election.
I think I've seen his ad.
Yeah, no.
But he's not in the top ranking.
No, but he'll be on the debate stage, and you'll see what he's about. He's a real nice guy, and he's not overly over the top, like wanting universal health care or anything like that. But he definitely is for one of the things that I'll be fighting for is reparations. And he's definitely for, his climate change and education platforms are kind of what he's all about. He wants to educate the people on some more finances and schooling and stuff like that. But he also has that climate package that he wants an immediate stop to, many carbon emissions. He admitted that here in Nevada, we are the number two sunshine state in the country, and that we're slowly going over to energy efficiency, but not fast enough. So he admonished us about that. But, we've got a lot of – here in Northern Nevada, we're open to any candidate who can come out and say the things that we want. I just hope that we get ready for a woman – president, if Elizabeth Warren continues her forward momentum, because I don't know if she's going to be able to beat Trump just because she's a woman.
Well, can Biden survive scrutiny overall?
No. is going to be this investigation in Ukraine is going to really hurt him a lot. As I said, I talk to Joe ever so often, and I can tell. I haven't seen him in about 3 years, but I can tell that he is not as sharp as he used to be, and at least on TV, as I said. So what it looks like is that he might not even be able to survive the pressures of not only the presidency, but maybe even the elections. So we're going to have to see in the next couple of months how much he can take, and this is going to be a major issue that's going to come up. And he should have known that before he run. That was something that I didn't know how complicit he was in Ukraine, or his son was, anyway. But, this is going to come out in the wash. But I don't know if he can stand the pressure of even finishing the election.
And after him, it's Bernie, Elizabeth, or Kamala. Who do you see rising?
Like I said, that's a very, very important point. I've never endorsed anyone calling them the socialist. There can be socialist type plans for important projects, but calling yourself a socialist in the Democratic Republic is not my idea of the ideal candidate for me. That's just for me. And Elizabeth, I don't know if she's going to be able to represent the country worldwide like it can. Kamala, she can hold her own. She just has some ghosts that need to be covered up. But she's really smart. She's a good person. But she does have some animosity towards the treatment of minorities. Even though she treated them poorly herself with her being the AG in California during her terms. But, for the most part, I think it's probably going to be Elizabeth ultimately who becomes a candidate.
So it's Pocahontas?
It is probably going to be Pocahontas only because
I started falling asleep.
I don't know if Bernie can is his policies and program are going to be big enough now, because back in 16 he could have possibly won if he didn't bow down to Hillary. And the bottom line is that he had a surge of energy. His campaign was in his life.
I heard he got 46% of the. The people who pledge, I forgot what the word is.
No, I don't know, but all I know is that...
You know, like when you're in the precincts and you pledge your vote?
Right.
Like in some states he got close to 50 or 60% of the delegates.
In the caucus, right. So, so he had that momentum then. I don't think he has that same momentum now. And...
he's kind of repetitive, overly stern, and sort of like a school marm, like kind of like attempting to lecture people all the time. He's not warm and fuzzy.
Well, he's not a crook. We don't deserve to have a president, any president, have us serve us as a crook. You know, with the mob, right now your president is acting just like a don in the mob. And that is unfortunate, because we deserve a lot more than someone taking the money for themselves, taking all the money just for themselves, just taking everybody's money, your money, my money, John's money, everybody's money.
How come we have the best economy, lowest unemployment, record market, stock market. Hear me out. If he's all about taking money for himself, then what was the party doing before him if they're doing half as much as he was?
I did hear the Chinese trade war has caused less worldwide investment, and that could create a future conflict.
We don't care. But we don't care because when you're on top, you can afford to lose money. You can afford to give some back to make more. And that's what happens is that we have to slow down. The other economies are slowing down. So percentages, you got to look at percent when you look at money. And the percent of the money going to us is still exceeding what it exceeded before, even though those the countries are losing their Moody's every month. They're losing
their business ratings.
Right. They're losing their ratings every month. And the more money that we squeeze out of them, the higher percentage we have of their money. And that means everybody's money. You know, Trump is smart that way. That's how you do it. You squeeze everybody else out, especially if you have you're the big boy on the block. You squeeze everybody else out, and then you've got pretty much everything. The problem with Trump, with me, is that he's gone too far in that he's squeezing money not only out of the international investor, but he's squeezing it out of us with that tax reform. That tax reform was incredible.
Well, I have to say, before Trump, for years, I've been saying we got to keep our industry going. We have to keep things made in America. I remember in the 80s, my uncle was arguing with his daughter, and she said, "Oh, I bought the latest Toyota thing." And he said, "Well, you need to buy American. You need to buy a Ford." He said, "Well, Ford sucks. American products suck." And he says, "Yeah, well, it will continue to suck if you keep buying foreign products. It's we're going to lose the industry," which we did. And so the point is, whether Trump's president or not, and he'll be gone in 4 years. I mean, no matter what we do, or what he does, the point is, we need American jobs in business. And he doesn't fight wars with blood. He fights trade deals. Like, he just finished a deal with Japan. He's got the USMCA, but the Democratic House will not let him have a victory there. Everyone wants it. It's a great deal to get going, but no, they want to just impeach him. He's same thing with he's trying to work a deal with Boris Johnson. He wants to do a deal with North Korea rather than arms. You know, he's negotiating with sanctions with North Korea and with Iran. Again, not sending soldiers to die bloody wars, but just squeezing them so that financially they'll realize, hey, why do we have to fight? Why don't we make a business deal that's profitable for both of us?
I disagree with that strategy. The strategy is fine, but he has made 25, 30 claims of attempting treaties, and he just got that one with Abe the other day. He did, have a partial one, I guess an unsaid one with the Saudis. But other than that, in terms of just the treaties, he has none. He has maybe those two. That's done. It's it. He doesn't have a treaty with anyone else that he said he was going to have a treaty with, except there was also, I guess, a Canada deal. But that's it. 3 out of 35, that's not a very good percentage of treaty negotiations when we say you're going to get them done, period.
Well, how can you do that? How can you make any deal when the two parties that have to vote and put together and approve these deals, he doesn't approve the final deal. He can block things. He can, he can check things off, but it has to go through Congress. How can you do that if they spend 99% of the time based on trying to get him out of office? You think about that. I'm here to do it. I'm a captain. I run around the ship. We want to throw you off the ship. And they spend the whole time during the trip, let's throw the captain off. Now, I'm on the ship, and it's the Titanic. I'm like, hey, leave the captain alone. I don't care if he's a little off in his direction. I want to get to America or wherever we're going. Now, I know
you don't
need to throw him off the ship. It's like, why are you trying to throw the captain of your country off the ship? Why don't you approve the deals that will make us money?
Because the country is leading you into the iceberg that nobody else can see but him, and he knows that iceberg is there, and he's taking the Titanic right into the iceberg. That's why.
What's the iceberg? We're talking deals, prosperity, and peace.
I'm talking about the Titanic.